Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday morning, May 18th, 2019, in our nation's capital. It's good to be with you today. Can't wait to get into today's program, which is decided by you, the listener, the loyal downloader. You guys give us the page views on thefandc.com, and I'm sitting here on Saturday mornings talking about your stories, the stories that you care the most about. I wanted to lead off today's program by letting you know, first and foremost, a matrimony edition of the Junkies Rewind this week, and that'll be later in the show, a little closer towards 7:45. But we had a little mystery pop up on the show last week in that, well, we had some audio from Chris Russell on one of his podcasts doing a live read, a commercial read for a sex pill ad. And it was just stunning, stunning audio, in case you forgot what that sounded like.
We normally talk about football, but now we're going to talk about sex. Ah, that's right. Something everybody likes, or at least you should like. A good sex, right? I mean, that's important, too. Remember the days when you were always ready to go?
A good sex, right? So, long story short, last week when I'm getting ready for my weekly segment with Dukes at 2:45, which you can hear every Friday, right here on 106.7 The Fan, I noticed that the audio had gone missing. Now, we had it the day before, the day that we discovered the audio. Some loyal tipster out there was kind enough to tip us off to this brilliant, brilliant audio here of Chris Russell. So as I'm prepping the segment, I realize the audio is not there. I don't know where it's gone. I ask Landfill. He's the one who first cut the audio. I say, what happened to that audio from Russell yesterday of him talking about sex pills and the good sex? Landfill says, I don't know, Schwartz. I haven't seen it. I checked the folder. It's not there. I checked yesterday's folder, today's folder. It's nowhere to be found. So suddenly, just a couple hours before my segment, where I'm supposed to play the Chris Russell sex pill audio, I don't have the Chris Russell sex pill audio. No good sex for me. No good sex for the listeners. I'm not going to be able to crack the mic at 2:45 and share this wonderful, wonderful audio with the world.
You can be ready to go whenever an opportunity arises. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how are we supposed to deprive the world of this?
A good sex, right? I mean, that's important, too.
That's right, Russell. Unfortunately, the audio had vanished. Fortunately, we still had a backup copy. So whoever tried to make that audio disappear, they made the unfortunate misstep of not also disappearing the backup They made the unfortunate misstep of not also deleting the backup copy of the audio, which is why I'm able to play that for you here today. And thank God, people need to be reminded of the power of a positive message.
A good sex, right? I mean, that's important too.
Like, it would be distressing to the world, I think, if I couldn't reach back and fire this clip of this brilliant segue.
We normally talk about football, but now we're going to talk about sex. Yeah, that's right. Something everybody likes, or at least you should like.
All right, enough, Russell. Back to the point at hand. Somebody deleted the audio. And, you know, it's just hard to tell who it could have been, but there was one leading suspect, I think, from the beginning. And then wouldn't you know, as I'm having my trusty helper, Ben Krimmel, sift through hours and hours of Chris Russell audio on Friday, he happens to find a diamond in the rough, a needle in the haystack, what sounds a lot to me like an admission from the main culprit.
Yeah, that was about as clean as landfills. Mashup of me with the big butts and whatever.
Big butts. What did I miss?
It's a long story.
Can we play that, please?
I don't know where it is in the system. I tried to delete.
Don't you worry.
Oh, PJ knows.
We still have about an hour or so. Please find it.
Now, if you didn't catch it over the obtrusive sound of PJ Elliott stepping all over that admission from Chris Russell, he literally outed himself on the air. I mean, did he not know that there was an ongoing investigation? Chris Russell outed himself. He said, I tried to delete everything.
I don't know where it is in the system. I tried to delete
So thanks to PJ Elliott for very annoyingly running interference there, but we had gotten just enough of a soundbite from Chris Russell to get an admission on tape, a confession on the record from Chris Russell. He actually went into another show's folder and deleted their audio. It's not his audio. It's theirs. If only he had just remembered to delete the backup audio, too. If only he had known he should have done that. If only he had known that he had to do that. Then his salacious audio that he tried so very hard to keep from the world would be hidden away forever.
We normally talk about football, but now we're going to talk about sex. Ah, that's right. Something everybody likes, or at least you should like. A good sex, right? I mean, that's important, too. Remember the days when you were always ready to go?
Unfortunately, Russell, you know what this means. Now we've got you red-handed. So we're really left no other choice than to just take extra precautions with everything. Safeguard every single Russell clip under lock and key, because we never know when, after everybody's gone for the day, you might just sneak into somebody else's show folder and start deleting their audio. And if you did it once, who's to say you're not going to do it again? So this means war, Russell. This means war, and the world has been exposed to your underhanded ways.
You can be ready to go whenever an opportunity arises. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Let's jump into our top five most read stories of the week from thefandc.com.
Number five.
Josh Norman was a guest of the Rich Eisen show this week. Love Rich Eisen. And Eisen made the astute observation of there being a common thread between Josh Norman, Landon Collins, and Dwayne Haskins. And to be honest with you, I had never thought about this before. But let's listen to this play out, this audio courtesy of the Rich Eisen show.
You, Josh Norman, are in Washington with the Redskins. Landon Collins, now in Washington with the Redskins. And now Dwayne Haskins in Washington with the Redskins. What do all three of you have in common as to why you're on the Washington Redskins, do you think, Josh Norman?
Well, I know one thing that we all should have in common is to win a freaking Super Bowl.
But who?
You laughing, Rich. It ain't funny.
No. I believe that. That's not what I was driving at. That's why I was laughing. Because why I'm driving is, who's responsible, do you think, to put all three of you people in Washington, D.C.? If you could guess.
Who's responsible?
Yeah, who's the one who let you walk from Carolina and Landon Collins from the Giants and then drafted Daniel Jones instead of Haskins? Josh, who's that guy?
Oh my gosh, don't even do that. Hey, right now. Oh my God.
Have you not put those dots? Have you not connected those dots, Josh, yet?
I think everybody in the world connected those dots. I mean, geez Louise. And we have an alliance with that guy, with everyone. Washington, I think we need to put him on salary. I think we need to put him on salary. I mean, they need to protect Dave Gettleman at all costs up in New York, for sure. Protect that man at all costs, because he's winning for us.
See, that's what I figured. I mean, I just kind of triangulated that for you right there. Because obviously, if you do win a Super Bowl, the three of you guys are going to be a large reason why. Wouldn't you think, Josh?
Yeah, I would think, you know, the more players you can get that's really good, man, the better your chances are. But the thing is, it's just all playing with each other, man, and all having a sense of urgency to go out there and compete and be at the top of our game each and every day, you know, each and every time we step on the field, just being at the top of our game and then bringing people up to rise with you, you know. I think that's the most important thing, just the rise of it all and being there in that same mist, because we have the crew to do it. Now I feel like we got the pieces. They starting to come together. We just got to take another step as a unit, man. We got to grow up and get some things going and understand our role and try to be the best at it. And everything else to take care of itself, you know. Guys are hungrier. I feel like they're back and they're training. They're working hard. And it's just now taking the right steps and pieces put in place to be able to, you know, get into that championship form, into the playoffs, man. Freak. I miss that thing so much. Haven't been back there in a while. Now I was just trying to get there. And once you're in the dance, anything can happen. So just trying to get there first and foremost and then see what, you know, what can we make noise in during that time. Because the championship, man, is all what we strive for. I think you can ask anybody about that with me.
So how about that? Dave Gettleman, responsible for landing Josh Norman, Landon Collins, and Dwayne Haskins, technically, all in Washington. Somebody's going to be the huge victor from this situation, right? I mean, it's either the Giants or it's the Redskins, and I guess that remains to be seen. I just snorted. Got to get to a break. When we come back, our top four stories of the week from thefandc.com. These are the stories that you decided are the most worthy of talking about this Saturday morning. And don't forget, our favorite segment of the week, your favorite segment, my favorite segment, The Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you for another segment. Let's pick up right where we left off in our top five most read stories of the week, the biggest stories this week in D.C. sports.
Number four.
This was pretty cool. At the start of the 2018-19 season, so at the start of this past season, the Washington Capitals commissioned the installation of six murals to be designed by local artists across the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. So now, from H Street in Northeast to Russell Street in Baltimore, Caps fans can visit these murals, these mural Bowsers all over the area as a living legacy to the Caps' unforgettable Stanley Cup run. And you can actually view all of them right now at thefandc.com/capitals, thefandc.com/capitals to check out these awesome, awesome murals. And there's a lot of background information there about the artists and where the locations of each mural are. It's a pretty cool thing to commemorate the Stanley Cup run, I thought. So thefandc.com/capitals. And if you don't mind, bookmark that page if you're a Caps fan and want all the latest news.
Number three.
There's an Ohio State film session video featuring Dwayne Haskins breaking down tape that's making the rounds with Redskins fans this week. I know a couple of people had tweeted it to the Junkies, I believe. And that's where I first heard about it, and then Dukes talked about it. And then before you know it, I was like, you know what? I should probably check this video out. And I did. It was posted in December of 2018. And it was Haskins talking to Big Ten Network analyst Jerry DiNardo, taking him through the game film of Ohio State's 62-39 romp of Michigan, who was then the number four team in the country. Haskins lit their butts up for 396 yards, six touchdowns, six on 64.5% completion rate. It's pretty cool in the video. You can really see how impressive of a handle he has on the offense. You get to see an insight into his grasp for the schemes and the protections. And he really does. You know, I heard Doug Farrar talking about this, and you can really get a sense of how he's able to process so much information. It's a really cool video. You can check it out. But DiNardo, that's what I enjoyed about it as well. You can see DiNardo, this guy who's been in college football forever, now works at the Big Ten Network, probably great job, nice cushy gig. You can see how impressed he is with Haskins, too, that he's not taking it as this is just another interview with, you know, random Big Ten football star. He seems to really, really appreciate it. And actually, if you'd like, you can go back and listen to him on the Junkies, because he was on the show on Friday, thesportsjunkies.com for that podcast. But check the video out. You can find it very easily at thefandc.com/redskins. thefandc.com/redskins. It's pretty cool.
Number two.
Doug Farrar was on with Chad Dukes this week. And I always love Farrar's. You can tell when he speaks on a specific quarterback how much time he's invested in watching that person's film, analyzing it, talking to, you know, experts, people in the game, bouncing ideas off of what he's actually seeing. So I always appreciate his perspective, because there's just way too many people in football, in sports media now, who just watch all 22 tape, and how am I supposed to take what they're saying as gospel when I know that they're not sitting down with a professional football coach who can explain to them what exactly they're watching? They're just kind of making it up as they go along. But Farrar, he's so well connected, and he's got such a body of work that I tend to listen in closely when he gives an opinion on somebody. And here's what he had to say this week about Dwayne Haskins. Two things popped out to him.
I think that's a huge differentiation that we need to make. It's not about whether or not you think Haskins is a good quarterback prospect in the NFL. It's, does it vibe with what Jay Gruden is and what he likes to do with quarterbacks and the system that he runs? And I think that's where, when you looked at some of the tape and saw where he did struggle at Ohio State, that maybe some of those things could prove to be difficult in his union with Gruden's system.
Well, yeah, it could be, and there are two things when you watch Haskins for any amount of time that stands out, that both stand out. And one is that he reads defenses and scans coverages and makes throws against what he sees quickly, like an NFL veteran on his second contract. He's one of the most highly developed read throwers. He's not a see-it-and-throw-it guy. There are guys in the NFL who do not read defenses as well as Dwayne Haskins does, which is astonishing because he's basically a one-year starter like Kyler Murray was. And he was throwing, you know, 50 touchdowns and eight picks against big boy competition. You know, he gets McLaurin, who he threw, I think, 10 touchdowns and no interceptions to last year. He's got a good offensive line. So the thing about Gruden is he's a structured and, you know, he doesn't like a lot of improv. And he would rather, and we've seen this through his career in Cincinnati and nation's capital, he would rather take the less talented quarterback who will adhere to his system than the more talented guy who will sort of run around outside of structure, because Gruden is all about structure. So in that regard, Haskins is as perfect a rookie quarterback for Gruden as there could be. the part that's the problem is Haskins under pressure. And there are, you know, there are some ugly numbers here. He, you know, his, by whatever measure you want to use, his efficiency plummeted when he didn't have a clean pocket. And that was pressure from the side that forced him to roll out, which he's really not good at. He's not good at throwing on the run at all. And this is a major problem in a Gruden system where from Andy Dalton through, you know, it just he wanted Kirk Cousins to do it. He couldn't quite merge with RG3, but obviously RG3 healthy was great throwing on the run through Alex Smith, through whoever. Gruden's always wanted a guy who can roll and reduce the field, hit the easy read and go. Haskins is not that guy. Haskins is more of a, and I'm far from comparing him to either one of these players, but just as far as, you know, Tom Brady excels at pocket movement. Drew Bledsoe excels at pocket movement. A Nick Foles would be more like what, you know, Nick Foles now, as opposed to when he came into college, would be more like what Haskins is now, where he can read the field and there's pocket movement and then there's mobility outside the pocket. And Haskins is great at pocket movement. That shows up. But it's interesting that Gruden, who has always wanted mobile rollout boot action quarterbacks, not only takes Haskins 15th overall, but says, yeah, he's a big guy and he can bounce off defenders and do all that. In that way, it's a big switch and kind of a repudiation of everything that Gruden has wanted in quarterbacks before, which I would imagine tells you what Gruden thinks of his acumen on the chalkboard and, in, you know, in the meeting room and all that. And that part shows up on tape. But Haskins as a quarterback under pressure, I think, is a multi-year project.
Now, you heard Farrar mention there that Haskins is not that great at throwing on the run. I think his perspective is kind of vindicated here, because since that appearance with Chad Dukes, the Redskins actually put out a video of Kevin O'Connell working with Dwayne Haskins during rookie minicamp. And wouldn't you know what they were working on? Haskins throwing on the run. Let's listen in on what else Farrar had to say about the Redskins' first-round pick.
You say a multi-year, then that means, because I always wonder, Doug, how much of this stuff is innate. Like, I think Russell Wilson has an innate ability to sense defenders, sense backside pressure, to get down, throw the ball away, all that. And whatever the opposite of that is what Griffin had. Now, whether or not he's going to progress in that way, now that he's, you know, we haven't seen him play in a few years, I have no idea. Quite frankly, I don't care. How much of that is something that you can coach up, what you're talking about, being comfortable under duress and also instinctually knowing what's going on around you? And how much of that is innate ability?
I think it depends on the quarterback. I mean, Wilson almost has it to a fault. He's, you know, he's so gun shy after years of terrible offensive lines that he'll bail when there is no pressure. So right. He almost goes too far the other way. With Haskins, again, you have a guy, and you compare pocket movement to moving around in a small boxing ring and trying to avoid punches and land punches at the same time. And you're avoiding punches is avoiding pressure, and landing punches is making throws. He's as good in that, say, you know, 1 yard by 1 yard area as a lot of NFL quarterbacks already. Now, like Brady, like Foles, like a Drew Bledsoe, who I've compared him to, the less mobile out of the pocket quarterbacks, he struggles with pressure in his face. So basically, and Brady, by the way, is deadly when you try and pressure him to the side, because he'll just move around and kill you. Haskins in the pocket can do that, doesn't always. And he's just a very unstable thrower under pressure. So when I say multi-year project, this isn't a few mechanical kinks that you can work out. Gruden's going to have to build him up from the bottom up. He's going to have to invent a quarterback in Haskins who is good under pressure, who is good rolling out. Part of that you can do with simple mechanical fixes. And, you know, these are your three concepts when you roll out. So he's not overthinking it. So he has a structure and a rhythm. You're trying to invent rhythm outside the pocket with a quarterback who doesn't have any. So he's never going to be Russell Wilson. He's never going to be, you know, whoever. He's never going to be Drew Brees throwing on the run, who's, you know, one of the best of all time. You know, Gary Kubiak has always had a really nice ability to create boot action throwers and develop them and things like that. That's kind of what Gruden's going to have to do. But again, you go back to, you know, Gruden saying things like he can, you know, he's a big guy, so he can bounce. I've never heard him say that about any other quarterback. You know, so you have to imagine I didn't hear his post-draft presser or anything, but you have to imagine he's tremendously excited to work with a quarterback this obviously intelligent. That is in Gruden's wheelhouse, and I guess he figures he can, you know, deal with all the other stuff as it comes along.
You can check out that full interview, which I highly recommend, at cdvtw.com. That's cdvtw.com. When we come back, our top story of the week. This is the story that people in DC sports fandom cared the most about over the past 7 days. That's up next, along with the best segment of the week, the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to The Download. It's time for our top story of the week, the story that you cared the most about in DC sports.
And now, the number one most read story of the week on TheFanDC.com.
Aren't you lucky you get a double dose of the Junkies in the final segment? Dwayne Haskins did not waste any time making the most of his first weekend as a Washington Redskin. He signed his rookie contract. Then he began rookie minicamp the next day. And then he bought a Bentley. The latter of the three made EB a little nervous.
I mean, so, we all goof on Case Keenum and all these other guys that are sort of mediocre NFL quarterbacks, but they're still elite athletes that are better than everybody else in the world at it.
Yeah.
They're, you know, about 10 guys that are elite at it, and then there's everybody else. But anyway, I'm rooting for him. I'm excited for him. I think the Redskins have an opportunity here maybe to have a quarterback locked up for the next 7 to 10 years. It would be amazing if that happens. But I just get a little bit nervous when I see over the weekend that I believe even before he's taken one snap at rookie minicamp, before he's even completed one NFL pass in practice, he's already got on Instagram his new Bentley with his custom logo all over the seats for his clothing line that he has. And it just harkens me back to the RG3 era of the slogans, right, and the logos.
Yeah, you're having flashbacks.
And it's just, I don't know, there's a cultural difference there, so I don't quite get it. But it just gives you sort of that feeling that this kid thinks he's already arrived. And he hasn't even completed one NFL handoff yet.
Now he did sign his contract.
Let alone throw a pass, let alone complete a touchdown. I mean, he's just won an NFL game. He's done nothing.
He did sign his contract, so he's spending his money. Now, to me, a Bentley is outrageous. How much does a Bentley go for?
I
don't know. $250,000? I have no idea.
Well,
I would say minimum.
Hopefully he's got some sort of deal. Like
people get Bentley cars?
I don't know. Maybe he's brokered some sort of deal behind the scenes where he's not paying the full freight.
But it's just the image of it. And it's God bless you. Do whatever you want. Your money. You know, you earned it. You paid for it. Whatever the clip is.
But this is what they do. This is what the young kids
do. But do you think? Now, Russell Wilson wasn't a first-round pick, but you think Russell Wilson went out and bought a Bentley before he even played in his first minicamp? I doubt it.
I just think a lot of those guys do.
I just think it's a red flag because it makes it seem like you think you've already made it when, in fact, the real trials and tribulations are about to begin. Yeah, you haven't done anything yet.
But all these guys buy houses and they buy this and that. They're not necessarily...
They don't all do that. A lot of them do. They
Most
don't all.
Of them
and then
do.
A lot of them leave broke. But that's a separate issue. If you want to leave broke, that's fine. All I care about is the perception. And the perception is that you've sort of arrived.
It gives you a little pause. Let's throw this out to
callers. It's a red flag.
I think it's interesting.
It's a red flag to me.
800-636-1067.
Hopefully it means nothing.
Do you find it to be a red flag that Dwayne Haskins already bought a Bentley and has a logo? The logo thing, I don't know anything about it, just what you're saying.
He's got his own clothing line,
apparently. The logo thing, to me, doesn't bother me at all because, you know, Tom Brady has one. All these guys are like,
Brady have his own logo and all of that?
It wasn't a big
thing. Before he completed one pass?
No, it wasn't a big thing.
He was a six-round pick.
It wasn't a big thing then, but I think the stars nowadays, guys who are drafted high, like take somebody like Saquon Barkley last year, and I don't know this for a fact, but he probably came in and had some sort of logo because they have PR people and they've got agents who are trying to maximize their name.
He's trying to build his brand.
And I guarantee he went out and bought a sick vehicle.
I'm sure he did.
You know,
so I don't think it's unique.
They don't all do that, though.
No, of course they don't all do it.
Baker Mayfield, he probably had a logo last year. He still balled out last year and won Rookie of the Year.
It's just a red flag to me. I know I sound like a fuddy-duddy, but just a little bit of a red flag. Like, just let's complete a pass. Let's win a game in the league before we go out and buy maybe the most ostentatious car you could possibly imagine.
I know, but if... It's hard to tell a kid who's 21, 22 years old who signs
you know, for a bunch of money, gets a big signing bonus, not to go out and get his dream car.
And he's been waiting.
That's
to
what
do
they
it.
Do.
I guess
it's, you know.
Now I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily flash it all over social media because that's basically just telling the world I have this and you don't. But you can't be surprised. This is what all these kids do.
I mean, the Bentleys I'm looking at on Car and Driver, they range anywhere from 167K all the way up to into the $300,000 range.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
that,
could
that's...
get a super luxury car for at least half the price.
Oh, you could have an just get a silly you know, what is it, S series Mercedes, or get a 7 series BMW.
Get a $100,000 car, not
yeah,
a $300,000.
Anyway, I don't even want to go down that road. It's not for me to spend his money. Spend your money however you
what
want.
What bothered you
it's
more though, the Bentley
the timing
or
of it.
The logo?
It's just all it's all the same
all
to
together.
Me. It's just the timing of it.
Now,
like,
was the logo on the car? Like, was it on his
on
car
the seats? On the seats. Oh, okay. You got to customize on
it
the seats
just
and everything.
DH.
It's something like Kingdom of. He's got some clothing line. It's okay. Not DH. It's something else.
Eric, didn't you hate that Kirk Cousins drove a beat-up van? You said he's doing a bit.
Kingdom of Pride.
Kingdom of
Where
Pride.
Where are you at?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, Drab. All I can tell you is what my initial reaction is, and
yeah,
it's different
for
all things.
Yeah, but that's because that felt phony.
Yeah.
The driving the van.
I'm not asking him to drive a beater.
Felt phony.
Go buy a 7 Kirk. Series.
Like you're trying too hard to act.
And to be honest with you, buy whatever you want. But he hasn't completed one handoff yet.
Okay, it but just, a lot of the guys
doesn't
are
it
spend
not
their money.
Scream at you like I've already made it, and that just scares me because you haven't made it. I mean, you have in a sense, but this is where the real making it begins, right here.
But this, and this is why
there's a lot of guys are college stars.
There's always stories of guys who just go through; they just burn through their money.
Yeah, hopefully,
now, hopefully his agent and they found a good financial guy and they're saving, you know, going to save as much as they can because mm-hmm. you don't know how long his career is going to
sure.
last.
Yeah.
So,
it sounds like his family's very involved as far as, you know, helping
sure.
build the brand, helping him manage his money.
I was
as it comes
I was
in.
Frankly a little bit surprised because knowing how involved the parents were. I was a little bit surprised.
That was our top story of the week. For anything that you heard in our top five, if you'd like to read more about it, or say there was a visual component that you just can't quite pick up on the radio, like for instance, the Dwayne Haskins video, just head to thefandc.com. That is the beauty of this program. Everything that I talk about on these airwaves, you can find right there in one little hub at thefandc.com. Without further ado, I think we have some business to tend to. A little matter called the Junkies Rewind.
The Junkies Rewind on the download.
I wasn't aware of it on Saturday evening when Eric and I and Drab and Awad and Valdez were all at Tom Daly's wedding. And for whatever reason, I took, instead of going down Connecticut, which is a straight shot, although sometimes if I put it in my navigation, it would tell me to go G-Dub Parkway anyway from leaving downtown
right.
D.C.
Because you want to avoid the billion traffic lights on
right.
UConn Ave.
So it's about the same amount of time, but somehow I intended to go down Connecticut, but I guess I took the wrong turn, whatever. Leaving the parking garage, or I had valet. Somehow I ended up on G-Dub, and I had to get off on 123, which definitely wrecked me on Saturday night.
Yeah, you got diverted.
Right.
Plus, the whole time, I was just thinking how much I was paying my babysitter.
Sure.
But actually, talking to a few people on Saturday night who have similar situations, like Chris, CK, our program director here, has a young child, so he has a babysitter. Danny has two. They pay more than me. I thought $15 an hour was a lot.
Well, they have two. Well, Danny has two kids, so what? Yeah. He probably pays $20 an hour.
See, the problem is, I pay a kid. She's a junior. She's with it. But if you pay a nanny,
yeah,
or somebody that like has
pricier
a title,
sure,
credentials.
Not that a nanny. I don't know that they get some sort of certificate.
I don't
just
know.
Become a nanny.
Maybe the nanny is trained like in CPR.
I don't
something
think
bad
you get
happens.
Certified as a nanny.
We certainly can as a babysitter. A my daughter somehow has some sort of certification as a babysitter.
Really?
Yes.
I had never heard of that.
Yep.
I haven't looked
she
into
took,
it.
Took like a class.
I just
learned CPR.
Yeah. I just know the wedding. Like I gave, hopefully it was a generous enough gift,
yeah.
$300.
Mm-hmm.
$300. gave $110 to the babysitter, $25 to the valet. That was an expensive night.
Yeah, it's a pricey night. Weddings are expensive. They just are, all the way around.
And that was a local wedding.
Try not to think about it. Right. Try not to think about it.
It just depresses you.
I mean, Matt Valdez is going to 100 weddings
I know.
This year. So imagine the money that he's outlaying.
Well, he has to, you know, he's bought new suits.
Well, I did the valet, too, and it was $35, the valet.
Yours was $35.
Yeah.
Why did you pay $35 versus $25?
They charged me $35.
Mm. I mean, you got there roughly the same time
as
I did.
That sounds right. $35, that sounds right.
I know. I was the hotel, too, but I'm just wondering how I got hooked.
Oh, no. They charged me $35. And then I had
because
to go.
I think
here's
I left
why.
After you.
Here's why they charge you $35. Because they can.
Right.
Because it's parking's a big, giant scam, and they can charge whatever they want.
They just told me $35. It's I looked at my wife, West. And I just shrugged my shoulders.
You're going to say no? You're going to park somewhere else? Walk in the rain?
Interesting about that is the person in front of me paid $35, and I was expecting that. Somehow I got $25, and you're telling me you got $35. I think you left before me and arrived after me. I got hooked. You know what? When
by the way, if you pay $35, no need to tip. The tip is built in.
I tipped $4.
You did? Okay.
Oh, wow.
I think you're okay without tipping at that point.
I don't know.
I was in a dilemma.
It should be built in.
Left, I didn't have any cash. I was like, well, I gotta give the valet a tip.
Yeah. Right?
So I went to the ATM and I just figured, you know what? Sometimes I write a check to the babysitter because I got to do the calculation. I was like, let me just get cash.
Yeah.
But then when you get cash at the ATM, which by the way, the charge, I think I get with my bank program, eventually I get refunded back or reimbursed. But the charge was $375
to
use their ATM.
Try doing it at a casino.
Right.
That's like $15. It's outrageous.
I get my cash, but now it's only 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give the valet a 20.
No, of course
so
not.
So I went into their little shop right by the valet's, where you're waiting for the valet, and I bought some Reese's peanut butter cups just to break the $20. And it was $5 and change. It was one of those little bags, but still.
Yeah, I mean, you're buying from a hotel, fancy hotel's gift shop. So, of course, you're going to pay a massive markup.
It was a fun wedding.
Yeah, I say congrats to
Tom and his wife. I thought all of the little sort of the wacky bits they did, it worked. It was fine.
I participated. I don't think you participated. They had a lipsologist cake.
Okay.
Where you had to put lipstick on and then kiss a piece of paper 3 times. And then she would analyze your lips. I don't believe in any of that.
Yeah.
I found it the most bogus thing ever. However, it was somewhat entertaining. I felt like I should at least participate in the bits if he's going to have bits.
Sure, why not?
Oh, I did feel the need to participate. But I liked having the contortionist there. I thought it was kind of interesting where the woman just kind of in a spotlight.
It was basically a Cirque du Soleil act.
Yeah, yeah. Doing a little bit.
It was definitely interesting.
So what do you mean they analyzed the lips? Explain.
Instead of like palm reading, they looked at
you. It's like a palm reader.
Instead of that, they looked at you.
The thing... She had stamps, and then she would look at your and just say general things.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
You know, she claimed I was a foodie. I do enjoy. Who doesn't enjoy?
You're
good
the
meal?
Opposite
she
was like, of a foodie.
Mock,
though.
Did you mock the lipsologist when she called him a foodie? EB?
No,
like,
I don't take pictures
of
my food.
Of a foodie.
I love. Everybody loves a good meal. She said at one point. She said, "It looks like you're going to travel soon, or you've just traveled, or thinking about traveling."
Well, it covers all the bases,
right?
And then
she said I was a people pleaser. I mean, she just had all these stamps and just she looked at one of my lips and see, that's a V. That means you're a volcano. You don't erupt very often, but when you do, you're volcanic. Whatever.
No, that's me. That's she'd be describing me.
Yeah.
With tea.
But you know, it was interesting and great for Tom. We got to see his $3,000 suit from Stitch.
Very nice.
It's a nice suit.
I'm sure. Well, it better be for $3,000.
And what was he wearing? Was he wearing LeBrons? Is that what was he, some sort of custom designed LeBrons?
They were very exclusive LeBrons.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much did those cost? Roughly.
I think he got lucky and bought them retail for probably about $300.
Yeah, I think maybe.
It seems reasonable. If you're wearing a $3,000 suit, you round it off with your $300 shoes.
But Cakes was part of the program. It was kind of an interesting program.
Did you see the program?
Somebody I did not.
You a
I, heard,
of it?
I heard about it. I have not seen it yet.
There was a crossword puzzle on the back.
Okay.
The program looked like a newspaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah,
there
okay.
were horoscopes on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting.
Yeah, but all in all, it was a good time. Everybody had a great time. I had a lot to drink. Great.
Shocker.
Well, I heard you pre-gaming. Your wife said you were drinking a cocktail on the way over.
I often do that.
That would be called a roadie.
Yeah, road soda.
If I'm going to a party or something, I'll have my wife drive and I'll drink on the way down.
Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Normal.
100% normal.
Yeah.
And everyone should do that.
We actually got caught in traffic. I mean, it was just a nightmare getting there, but...
Every wedding starts a little bit late. Like, you probably walked in about 10 after 5. The wedding starts at 5. I found it interesting that on Friday, Drab was killing me because I said I was going to leave at 4 for the wedding. He goes, cutting it close. And then I looked around when I arrived. Don't see Drab.
You beat Drab from
T-shirt. Well, cutting it close.
Well, Drab T-shirt lives in North Carolina now, so it's very difficult for him to get to events in D.C.
No, my wife pulled out at the last second because she thought she was sick. Thought she was going to go.
Right.
At 4 o'clock, she finally decided, I can't go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She bailed.
So I drove 90 miles an hour, got to the wedding at 5.
Right.
Couldn't find parking. Mm-hmm. Should have done what Cakes does and found a place beforehand.
Well, spot hero.
All the garages were closed. Drove around for 25 minutes.
Yep.
Punching everything in my car.
Right.
Finally sprinted in there, and the lady shut the door in my face.
By the way, he's had so many problems parking. Remember when he whored you at the Nats game?
Oh, yeah.
Nats playoff game years ago? Yeah. He claims
to
have driven
around
for
10 years ago. All I do is give you sage words of advice all the time about parking. You just never listen.
For about 15 seconds, I was angry once I got there.
Yeah.
And then I realized, what am I doing? I could just hang out here in the hallway and do whatever I want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's trap time.
Yeah, so it was fine.
It's a nice
hallway. Got a little bit of Joni when everybody saw me.
I think the actual attending the actual ceremony is a little overrated.
It is kind of overrated.
I mean,
it's the most overrated part
because
of the
bride
entire
and groom
wedding.
Are in their own world and they don't even see anybody who's there besides people who are maybe in the front row.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If you're sitting in the back, they're not going to notice.
We were in the third or fourth row, and it was a circle wedding, so the ceremony was right underneath this fancy chandelier at the Mayflower Hotel. And the seats were in a circle around it, and I couldn't see.
So they did a wedding in the round? Never heard
wedding
of that.
EB, did you happen to know? I mean, I think by the sound of people, and I gather, but I didn't see it. Was there a dog in the wedding?
Someone said there was. I never saw it.
Yeah, we couldn't see it from where we were
sitting. A dog walked down the aisle before the kids
Was the dog the ring bearer?
I don't know.
I'm not even sure.
I wasn't there. I couldn't tell.
I don't think the dog was the ring bearer, but the dog definitely walked down the aisle. I never saw it either, though, because I think it was one of those, you know, Cakes dogs.
Dogs,
contortionists, lip
There's a lot
readers.
Happening there.
I mean, geez.
There's a lot going on.
But it was fun. Good selection of beer.
Very good.
Selection of alcohol.
Perfect.
Yeah. It all worked out.
Sounds good.
But
it was a good bit wedding.
But the key is you have to have the roadie if you're coming from, you know.
Yeah, it's generally the way it works.
30 miles away.
Especially if you have a driver. I mean, if somebody's driving you.
You got to have a roadie.
I don't know if it's fully legal, but it's definitely more legal than having a road soda while you're driving.
If your wife's driving, that's a problem.
Probably very state-to-state.
I mean, it's an open container bit, but who?
That might be okay, though.
Is a cop really going to bust
you for that? Open container, I mean, it's a cup. I mean, it is open container technically.
By the way.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering if an open container is legal. It might be, as long as you're not driving, obviously.
I don't think it is.
It probably varies state by state.
I think in Virginia, it is.
I think Virginia, it is.
Virginia's kind of liberal like that.
I'm not sure about D.C.
By the way, so Grant and Danny's show, they're all married off. Adam's about the only guy here who's not married. From the morning show to the midday show.
Now,
the
afternoon show. Married daily.
Right. Both their producers are married.
Well, Grand Eric Danny now, Eric and Brock, those guys aren't married, right?
Nice. You got to go all the way to the
landfill.
Show.
That's pretty safe.
Yeah. That's AWOD did botch it a little bit because there was a very cute girl sitting at the table with the midday guys.
Okay,
And she'd been drinking a little bit, feeling a little loose, and everyone was saying, "AWOD, that girl's really cute and would talk to you in a second." And he took too long, and Brock's swooped in, sat next to her, and charmed his way into her.
Really?
Yeah, then they were hanging out.
Look at Brock Lesnar doing work.
He panicked.
I did. I couldn't compete with the best man at the wedding.
Yeah, you didn't have that that title.
By the way, I had no idea what his real name was.
Whose?
Brock's.
I have no idea what it is.
Hold on. Brock's real name.
Jimmy? Is it Jimmy?
Is it... Drab, give me a little bit of help here. Is it similar to his Twitter address? Like Brock Plimmon or Plyman?
No,
Brock.
Brock's not his name.
Brock is not his name. His name's Tom.
How would I know? Well, where did Brock come from?
Brock's name's Tom. Because apparently he was originally called Cookie on the Chad Big
I remember,
Show.
I remember
because cookies. He would bring in cookies.
Sure.
And then he went the other way and brought in healthy food,
yeah.
including broccoli.
Okay.
And that got shortened to
I mean,
Brock.
How would I know that? How would I know his name is Tom? I've never heard him
Only
referred
if
to
you
ever
looked
as
at
Tom.
The same program that I looked at as you're waiting for the wedding to start.
Well, he should be labeled as Brock.
Yeah.
Because that's how everybody knows him.
The Chunky's Rewind on the download.
What a fun wedding that was. Congratulations to Tom and Monica. I got to get out of here. I'll see you guys same time next Saturday at 7 a.m. Hit up the podcast. Head to iTunes and search for Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. That supports not just me, but all of the non-primetime hosts here at 106.7 The Fan who work very hard as well. Give us some shine, if you will. See you next week. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.